There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
The Joyce Kaufman Podcast is being brought to you by Code Red Roofers, South Florida's leading residential and commercial roof experts. Code Red Roofers, roofers that respond. Call 844-4-CODE-RED or visit CodeRedRoofers.com.
She's on the Mount Rushmore of Florida talk show hosts, and she's on your radio now.
Now.
It's the Joyce Kaufman Show on News Talk 850 WFTL.
We were here blowing out birthday cakes, riding night, jumping in lakes, feeling butterflies on our first dates, and stealing our old man's beer. We were here back home in the home of the brave, but the brave ain't home, they're in ocean away, doing their job and keeping us safe while we were here. They were there fighting back on the front lines, strapping up their boots before the sunrise. Keeping their mamas up all night in fear. They were there in the name of a hometown, of a last name that was passed down. Every day, every night, every moment we were here. They were there. Of allegiance, repeating those words, not knowing their meaning, taking for granted all our freedoms in the land of the free. We were here bitching about minimum wage, splitting ourselves into red and blue states, but still sat down hot food on the plate. Yeah, while we were here, they were there fighting back on the front lines, strapping up their boots before the sunrise, keeping their mamas up all night in fear. The last name that was passed down. Every day, every night, every moment we were here.
Yes, yes, they were there. And that's something that I never lose sight of. I never forget about the men and women who serve in the United States military. That's why I guess I found that movie Civil War so disturbing. I just don't like to think about the military ever positioning itself against the very citizenry that it comes from. But hey, all things are on the table these days, aren't they? I've never seen so many blue state politicians having so many problems with criminality. I mean, you could legitimately make a case for calling out the National Guard when you see what's going on in the state of California. You had Adam Shifty Schiff. He just had an exchange. Luggage was stolen right out of the car in San Francisco. But you can't really leave anything in a car in San Francisco and expect it to still be there when you get back. There was a period of time just before Rudy Giuliani was elected in New York where you could not leave anything. You couldn't even have a real, like, in-dashboard radio in your car because they would break into your car to steal it. That's a very, that's just not a nice way to live in a country that hails from freedom and liberty and justice. You ever get the feeling lately that justice is just sort of a memory? I'm looking at all these cases. And you know what's so fascinating to me about the media right now? You could have one story. Let's say one of the biggest stories today, no matter who you are, what side of the aisle you vote on, the trials and the various legal shenanigans, in my opinion, that are going on with former President Donald Trump, you can see completely polar news stories about it. You know, one publication will tell you this is, there's never anything been this bad. It's terrible. The Supreme Court's going to come down against him. This, that, he had no chance. And then you read another, maybe moderate kind of publication, and they'll say it's probably going to be mixed and there'll be some victory and some defeat. And then you'll have an entirely other source say the trial has fallen apart. The, whatever you call this, New York fiasco with the 34 felony indictments, it's basically falling apart. You have these lousy witnesses who are giving lousy answers to normal questions, questions they should have actually known the answers to. And they're fumbling, whether it's Pecker, and then you got the liar, you know, Michael Cohen. One of the questions that was asked of Michael Cohen was, did you ever do this for anybody else? Meaning, did you ever pay a non-disclosure? Now, Michael Cohen's the only one asserting that that's what was happening. You know, Donald Trump says, I paid him legal fees. It wasn't for the NDA. There is an NDA, but that wasn't what the $130,000 was for. The guy was his fixer, his attorney. So Michael Cohen goes into detail about, oh, yeah, I did it for Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I did it for this one, I did it for that one. So in other words, rich, powerful men, this happens to them all the time, and they're not running for the presidency. So how do you turn it into a campaign finance? That if you presume, and I don't, that Donald Trump is actually guilty of having an affair with Stormy Daniels and then wanting to silence her through, unlike Bill Clinton, you know, Bill Clinton's way of silencing all those bimbos, that's what he called them, not me, during the bimbo eruption in his first election, was not to pay NDAs and not to give them money to go away. No, it was to get investigators, literally to hire private investigators to dig up any dirt they possibly could on these women and make their lives sheer hell. I think it'd be nicer to have somebody sign an NDA to get him out of the way and give him some money than to do what he did, ruin people's lives. But hey, you know, Bill Clinton can do no wrong. Donald Trump can do no right. That's just the way it is, and we have to learn to accept it or at least tolerate it. But I don't see where this case can possibly end up. I'm still trying to figure out what exactly was the crime. What crime are they asking for these convictions? Because nobody's been able to clarify that for me. I listen to all the legal experts, and even the ones who hate him seem a little concerned and puzzled over, well, it's not technically, you know, it was turned away by the election authorities, by the FBI. They all said, no, there's no case here. Can't make a case out of this. And then this rather bizarre guy, chubby DA in New York, says, well, I'm going to make a name for myself. I'll find a way and whatever I have to do. And now we're looking at all these text messages and emails that say this was an effort by the DA's office to find a crime that they could possibly pin to Donald Trump. And if you could find 34, that'd be even better. Not that a crime took place and now they were trying to, well, prove guilt or innocence. They have to prove guilt. Donald Trump doesn't have to prove innocence. They have to prove guilt. And I don't know how they're going to do that because none of the banks, nobody, there's no crime if there's no victim, is there? I mean, crime against humanity? I don't think so. An NDA? Mm-mm. Fudging reports, if that really happened, as far as I can tell, who's the victim there? So I don't know. So you read one article, it tells you, this case is pretty much over, and they were unable to execute it successfully. Then you read another story that says, he's going to jail. Juan Marchand still not issuing a ruling as to what the punishment will be for the violations of an unconstitutional gag order, probably because he knows that could ruin his career forevermore. which is no big deal to me. But I look at these blue cities and these blue states with all this crime. You had Karen Bass, who's the mayor of Los Angeles. Her house got broken into. It was her second time. The last time her house got broken into, they stole guns. This time, she was in the house. I mean, maybe you ought to think about your policies and how they're affecting not just you, but everybody. And then Adam Schiff, you know, everything's fine in San Francisco. They're making that up. The conservatives are exaggerating the level of criminality. I mean, I've had my own kid tell me it's not as bad as you seem to think it is. Okay. When a congressman who's running for the Senate in your state and in your city has his luggage stolen out of his car in like a matter of 3 minutes, you might have a problem with crime. Just saying. The poor guy has to go to a big fundraiser. His car was in a downtown parking lot. His luggage was stolen. And then he has to go to this campaign event in Burlingame at Ristorante Roca, which is a really nice restaurant. I've actually had the great fortune of eating there. And he's dressed in like, you know, khaki slacks and a vest of some kind. I don't even know what kind of vest it was. It wasn't formal. Everybody else was in suits and ties. But hey, when your clothing has been stolen, you have to make do. Karen Bass, you have to make do. If those things are happening in your home, can you imagine how it affects people who don't live in neighborhoods the caliber that you live in, or downtown San Francisco, where you should hope your car wouldn't be broken into in a matter of moments? California Democrats just keep on being the victims of crime. And there's not an American, particularly living in LA or San Francisco, who's going to feel sorry for them. This stuff happens to us all the time. And that's our truth. Oh, and then 2 days ago, the Democratic mayor of San Jose, his security guard and some dude, a member of the public, got into like fisticuffs, a fight, during a live interview on a local network. Guess it's not all fun and games. But they're arresting a lot of bad guys. Now, these same bad guys have probably committed lots of crimes, but they didn't pursue them in quite the same manner when they were just robbing us. Back in October, wasn't it the DA in Oakland who had her laptop stolen in a smash and grab? This was classic, if I remember correctly. She was at an event for victims of domestic violence. And then when she called to report the crime, they told her, do it online. Don't wait for a police officer. We're not sending anybody. I just think it's great. You know, they're going through it. Paul Pelosi, right? When they when a guy broke into his house and attacked him with a hammer, you know, Nancy's still saying, everything's okay. There's no problem in San Francisco. Barbara Boxer had her cell phone robbed. And that's what's like living in California. Not me. Not me. Anyway, I'm going to take a break. Don't forget to download the 850 WFTL app. You can get it on your cell phone. You can put it on your laptop, on your desktop. That way you can participate in all our cool contests. You can listen to all our cool podcasts. And of course, you're just going to be ahead of everybody else, ahead of the curve with all the news as it breaks. Let me take this quick break.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And I will be right back. So it seems pretty obvious to me that TikTok and ByteDance and all this nonsense, you know, now we have a congressional decision and confirmation in the Senate, and then the president did sign a bill. And they have now been told they have until, I guess, the first of next year to either sell to a company here in the United States for their operations here in the United States or shut it down. So TikTok itself, which is what upsets everybody so much, has a very small, plays a small role in ByteDance, which is the parent company, the owner. So they're talking quite seriously about just shutting it down. They don't want to sell it to an American buyer. And it won't change ByteDance's business because they won't have to give up their algorithm, their core algorithm. And they're not making any public statements, but you know, the rumors are flying. The anonymous sources are speaking out. So it said late yesterday, I saw this just before I went to bed, they said in a statement that was posted on Toutiao, which is a media platform that ByteDance operates, it had no plans to sell TikTok in response to an article by The Information saying that they were exploring, you know, people who might want to, exploring scenarios for selling TikTok's U.S. business without the algorithm, because it's that algorithm that is really the problem. That algorithm recommends what you should be watching based on maybe what you watched. So, in other words, if you have watched, and boy, do we know this has happened, if you have watched a video on TikTok about the poor, oppressed Palestinian people, well, then guess what? You're going to be fed tons of that stuff. There, by the end of a day, you are going to hate Israel like poison. And that's what makes it so dangerous, and of course, what also makes it so addictive and what makes it so important from the perspective of what do you expect a product to do for you? What does any company would buy TikTok, what do they want? They want that algorithm. They want to be able to read people's desires and wants and steer people in the direction they want them to go. If you're talking about cat litter, they want to send you to pet store websites. I mean, this is not rocket science, but the bill which passed is actually based on, because I have to tell you, I don't use TikTok. I had 1 week of TikTok in my life a long time ago. And after I saw the garbage that was shown to me, I said, this is not for me. I don't like it. I don't like what I'm hearing. At that time, it was early on in the blooming, I guess, of TikTok. And primarily, I checked it out because my husband was watching videos on TikTok, but he was watching like the, they used to have these normal people in the middle of a mall just dancing and really great dancing. And so he liked that, and he would watch these dancing and I think some like lip syncing stuff. And so that's what they kept feeding him because that's what he liked. And I thought, well, that might be entertaining. I wouldn't mind looking at some of that. But of course, they had an algorithm which immediately looked at all the things that I watched, not just the first video that I watched on TikTok, but it was actually measuring websites that I visited frequently. It was able to ascertain that. Don't ask me how. I don't know how they do these things, but they do them. And so before I know it, I'm getting every kind of cockamamie political TikTok video that you would ever imagine. And some of them were really, really bizarre. And, you know, is Michelle Obama a man? You know, that kind of stuff. I'm not interested in that. I don't want to watch that. And it was just repeatedly sending me stuff like that. So within a couple of days, I just nixed it. And then I found that for a month, at least a month after that, I was still getting like all of these solicitations from things I had seen. I don't know if they were sponsors on TikTok or somehow they were relevant to TikTok. And that really upset me because that's the problem, is we're being monitored not only by our government, but by these other governments. That's the Chinese government monitoring me. I know that Yahoo and Google and Amazon and you name it also monitor me. And half of these companies, when you do a little bit of research, you can see how they all kind of intertwine and share the information with each other. Like, they're not afraid. I'm trying to think of what the big one. Temu shares its information with Shein, which shares its information with Royora. And all the women in the audience know what I'm talking about. These are websites where you can buy clothing, inexpensive clothing, where you can buy kind of really cool gadgets and housewares, very affordable. Most of them made in China. But once you've purchased something on one of those websites, you are immediately besieged with solicitations from every one of them. So I know that these algorithms are very, very accurate in predictions. And that's why the Senate said, no, you know, we don't want China having all this data. Believe me, it's not what I'm buying that scares me. It's how I'm voting. It's where I'm going. It's what I'm doing. It's where my bank accounts are that scares me. Do I really need, you know, the Chinese government to have that information? No. No, I don't. Now, ByteDance doesn't tell anybody how it makes its money or how much money it makes. They claim that they make most of their money in China because they have an app that is the Chinese equivalent of TikTok, Douyin, but it's not. It's not as ugly as the TikTok app. They restrict some things, and they certainly are careful about age-appropriate material. Not here. TikTok, sign on, get whatever nonsense you want. The U.S. accounted for about 25% of TikTok's overall revenues last year. I bet that's a understatement. I'm just thinking. Reuters interviewed more than a dozen investment bankers who said it was tough to value how much TikTok is worth compared with like competitors like Meta Platforms, Facebook and Snap, because they don't make their financials widely available. So nobody really knows what they make. ByteDance, on the other hand, their 2023 revenues rose to nearly $100 billion. $120 billion in 2023 from $80 billion the year before? That's a massive amount of growth. And TikTok, of course, shares all the same algorithms with ByteDance's domestic apps, like the short video platform that they have, Douyin, the one that they use. They have some rivals, too. They got Tencent and one I can't pronounce. But I'll tell you, the infiltration and the penetration into America by China is unbelievable. I was watching over my husband's shoulder the other night. He's become addicted to this, he's whatever you call it, binge-watching Shogun. I thought I would want to watch that when they were first talking about it because I loved the novel. And I didn't love, but I didn't dislike the Richard Chamberlain version of Shogun. But boy, let me tell you, this is bizarre. And my husband, who will never sit through a movie that's got subtitles, is watching this thing like an addict. And it's about, I would say, three quarters of it, every episode, you have to read the subtitles. It's in whatever, Japan. I don't even know what language it is. I just passed by and said, oop, not for me. Anyway, back in 2020, when Donald Trump said he wanted to ban TikTok and WeChat, the courts said no. But Donald Trump's gone. So now the courts say yes. Funny how that works, huh? They got a real sense of humor. Anyway, I'm going to take a break. Today, Derek will be calling in. My son from TMZ will call in, not in this next segment, but in the one after it. And we'll kind of end the week with a little more, a lighter heart, because this has been a brutal, brutal week. These protests have disturbed my psyche beyond anything I've experienced in a long, long time, not to mention these court cases. I'm up to my eyeballs in frustration, and I'm sure many of you are. So let's all agree we'll take off the weekend. But for now, let me just take a quick break. I'll be right back. I got to, somebody sent me a video, actually, my friend Pat, about how our brains are shrinking at a shocking rate. And I wish I could say that I found it unbelievable, but I don't. I find it most believable and most disturbing. And if you look at what's going on these college campuses, apparently the rate of brain diminishing is accelerating every generation. These kids are so stupid. I can't even watch any of these news reports without really worrying about their future. And then, of course, that means our future. How do you not know when you're shouting from the river to the sea, which river and which sea? Wouldn't you think that's kind of like a basic requirement you should understand? Or else don't shout it? I never asked questions I didn't know the answer to, and I'm not even an attorney, but that just makes sense. So when I saw that young girl unable to answer the question, what river, what sea, I thought, wow, we really are in uncharted territories. And I don't know how this story ends, but it can't end well. That much, I'm pretty sure. The other story that really I wanted to get to maybe is my last. I'm not going to be able to do the feminism story that I talked about yesterday. It's going to be my podcast on Monday, though, because it's just too much material. But this is sometimes I don't know if I can even believe two or three sources saying the same thing. I don't know where they get their material from anymore. So it's kind of hard to figure out, like, could that be true? I'm reading a story about what the inflation measure actually means, and it doesn't line up with anything I ever learned. Like, did all the formulas for figuring such things out change? I thought not. Isn't arithmetic, mathematics, aren't those complex theories pretty much cast in stone? Apparently not. You know, they literally change the rules right in the middle of measuring things like inflation and GDP growth. And I don't know what to believe anymore. But I was looking, and this is kind of a story that's going to be taking on a bigger importance as time goes on. It really is. The radicals on these college campuses are not funding this themselves. I saw today a student carrying, I presume it was a student, it looked like a young person. It could have been somebody, an activist that came in from the outside. I don't know. But the protester literally was carrying a sign calling for the final solution. Now, you can be as stupid as dirt, but if you don't understand what the final solution was, it was the Nazi plan to exterminate all Jews. You're a student at George Washington University. It's a pretty high-end university, pretty prestigious school. I don't think you can get in there unless you have some ability and a bunch of money. But can you imagine walking around carrying the sign? And I saw the sign, along with a Palestinian flag, but they got plenty of those. The parallels between this movement and actual Nazism is really scary to me. It's hatred. It's not a peaceful protest, as they keep telling us. These anti-Israel protesters that are occupying these campuses are not peaceful. They're calling for the extermination of an entire people based on their religion, based on their ethnicity. Give me a break. Could they get away with doing that with any other group? You know, we always say, could they get away with doing that with black students? No. Could they get away with doing it with gay students? No. Could they get away with doing it with women? No. And in particular, could they get away doing it to Muslim students? No. But Jewish students? Eh. Stop being so alarmist, Joyce. Now, they're claiming that these were not GW students. They were just other people who joined the protest. And so now they're taking steps to restrict access to University Yard at GW. We will pursue disciplinary actions against the GW students involved in these unauthorized demonstrations that continue to disrupt university, just the operation. The DMV Coalition of Students for Justice in Palestine claims that they're the organizers of this protest and that they have allowed students from other local colleges or even just some unaffiliated individuals to come onto the campus. That's not allowed. It's not okay. But they're still there. And then they got signs that call for the final solution or resistance against occupation is a human right. End all U.S. aid to Israel. Free all Palestinian political prisoners. Do you understand what those prisoners are alleged to have done? No, actually, they're already convicted. What they've done? You can't tell me that these young people actually understand that they were burning babies in their cribs. They were raping women until they were dead. They were shooting grandmothers and grandfathers in the head. Like, what kind of human? And then to hear them say, well, that never happened. It was the terrorists themselves who videotaped it. They sent it to the Israeli government. They sent it to the families. They put it up on websites. What do you mean it never happened? How could you be that stupid? And if you are that stupid, stay home. Please, please don't go out and protest and show everybody how stupid you are. We're not going to let you get away with that. And then, you know, all of these, I don't know, all of these administrators, what is wrong with them? The president of Columbia, the president of any other university, but what's her name? Minouche Shafik, in a letter that a Republican lawmaker just sent, she literally said that there was a mandatory orientation document that included shockingly offensive DEI terms such as Ashkenormativity. Now, I'm an educated person. I think and speak for a living. Do you have a clue what Ashkenormativity is? The DEI glossary expresses nothing but left-wing sentiments and a worldview that literally fosters anti-Semitism because they're talking about Ashkenazi Jews. Unbelievable to me. These are pre-orientation materials, by the way. It's not a student-made term book. It was sanctioned by the Board of Trustees of Columbia. You're very proud of your work, aren't you? Can you define for us the word Ashkenormativity? I don't use that term. I don't know that term, Shafik said, suggesting that it was something that a group of students produced. No, it's not a product of students at the School of Social Work. Ashkenormativity is defined as a system of oppression that favors white Jewish folk based on the assumption that all Jewish folk are Ashkenazi or from Western Europe. Is that appropriate to hand out to your students? I don't think it's very useful, she said. I don't condone it. But you gave it to them. And then you want to know, I don't know how they became so bigoted. Might have something to do with what you were giving them. All right, let me take a break. Don't forget, coming up after me, Eric Erickson, followed by Joe Pags, and then Lars Larson, and the weekend comes, and I hope you enjoy the weekend and turn everything off. And when I come back from this break, my son Derek from TMZ will be with me, so stay right where you are.
They say that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, but in the case of Derek Kaufman, all the way to L.A. The one thing Derek and his mother share in common, however, is the love for breaking news. TMZ is breaking news faster than the New York Times. So sit back and enjoy the news from Hollywood, as only the Kaufman family can bring it.
That's right, and this Kaufman kid on the other end of the line is going to have a birthday on Thursday, right?
Don't remind me. I don't count these birthdays anymore. You know I'm too old to be celebrating them.
Are you kidding? Think of what it makes me feel like. You're my baby. You can go
That's
ahead.
True.
Deny your age. It's okay with me.
Just let me get to that magic 50. We'll ignore him until then.
You're not so far. I just want to cover a couple of stories, though, today before we run out of time. I know you're on your way to see Carter's spring performance. And what will my grandson be doing?
You know that he is going to be singing a beautiful rendition of the Carpenters classic, Sing a Song, and I just couldn't miss it. I had to leave work to catch it.
Well, make sure I get the video. That's all I'm counting on.
You got it.
All right. So now tell me, what do you think about Harvey Weinstein's case being... I'm still trying to figure out how did they come up with this conclusion?
Well, you know, this is a huge development in this case. This is the Dior case where he was convicted of sexual assault with two women. But in proving that case, prosecutors actually brought in a legion of people who accused him of sexual assault, but for which he had never been charged, to sort of prove that he had the propensity to do this or maybe an M.O. Mm-hmm. And the appellate court said, hey, this went way too far. We don't punish people just for... being bad guys, we punish them for doing bad acts. And you went too far in trying to prove your case, so they reversed it. The big question is, what does this mean for his L.A. case, where he was also convicted, and they presented a similar case, where they used other acts that he was accused of to prove their case. And now his team is feeling pretty bullish about going back to L.A. and saying, hey, your conviction's the same way. Let's reverse that one, too, and let me get out of prison.
Let me tell you who else's attorneys are looking at this and saying, you're not allowed to come up with crimes and then establish a string of witnesses to things that have nothing to do with the crime you're accusing a person of and just damage their reputation. Does that sound kind of like what's going on in a New York City Supreme Court courtroom with Donald Trump?
Hey, listen, this is where things are now in a lot of cases. I mean, you know, R. Kelly would have grievances mm-hmm. like this, Bill Cosby would have grievances like this. They tried to satisfy him. Oh, and you're right, Donald Trump as well. Prosecutors have gotten very sort of aggressive, I'll put it that way. And the appellate courts, which are a bit of a cooling saucer, are saying, hey, it's time to pull back a little bit now.
Yeah. Well, I hope so.
I apologize for that honking.
That's okay. It's L.A. Too bad about your mayor getting her house broken into while she was in it. But maybe now she knows what the rest of you are going through.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable state of affairs here in L.A. What am I going to tell you?
No, I know. So let me ask you, do you think it was a smart thing for the president to sit down with Howard Stern on that show? I mean, the guy struggles to speak, and Stern is not exactly, even though he was pretty gentle with him, he's not going to just sit there.
Yeah, talk about a sign of the times. Would you ever have imagined in the 90s that Howard Stern would be interviewing a sitting president?
I mean,
this is a guy who used to interview basically a carnival freak show of people for ratings. But yeah, so President mm-hmm. Biden sat down with him and he talked about, you know, some dark thoughts he had after the death of his son and how he contemplated suicide and how he had been bullied as a kid and punched a kid in the nose. It's sort of vintage Biden trying to relate to people because he's mm-hmm. facing some trouble. I mean, Trump is in the news every day, whether it's good or bad, that's a mm-hmm. lot of coverage, and he's got to get out there as well and get his message out if he's going to win this election.
Yeah, and the economy is not doing well, in spite of their insistence that it's a great economy. GDP is down, inflation is up, and the mortgage rates are crazy. So that always works against a sitting president.
I think you're exactly right. I think everyone is thinking that the Trump criminal cases are going to derail him and clear the path maybe for Biden. But I think you're right. He's got a lot of headwinds, and I'm not sure an interview on Howard Stern is going to be enough to overcome them.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But I do have to ask you about this Kanye. I mean, one minute he's doing, you know, church gatherings on the lawn, and now he's back to pornography. Is he really going to put out a website with the former husband of Stormy Daniels?
Look, if I could tell you what Kanye West is going to do next with his career, I would have, I'd go to Vegas if I had those prediction abilities. But look, he is interested in porn. He always has been interested in pornography. This is a Kanye fascination. Even when he got with Kim, he said he watched her sex tape and then wanted to live out his own fantasy. So he does like this. He said, however, in the past that his addiction to porn actually threatened to ruin his family. So I'm surprised he's leaning into this, but that's Kanye. You know, I'm surprised that he wants to. He's got young kids. I think it's just really unfortunate that he's taken on this mantle of being the most provocative, controversial figure possible and has a bevy of young children. So we'll see what happens next, but I think he's serious about this venture, at least for now.
All right, and finally, how about them Knicks?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I hope we got the brakes beaten off us last night,
yeah.
But I'm so excited about this team. We had one of the best victories in the history of watching the Knicks, in my lifetime at least. I know I wasn't alive for Willis Reed, but what a team, so I'm excited.
And look, you know, the 76ers had to get a victory here. They're still ahead 2-1 in the series, right?
That's right. Let's make it a series. Embiid is very difficult. He dropped 50 on us last night, but we got to bounce back.
All right. Well, I certainly hope so. That'd be a great birthday present if they could win the next game. I guess that's, what, Sunday? Yeah, I think it's Sunday.
Exactly.
All right, well, thanks for coming on board. Give my love to Carter. Tell him Grandma sends him virtual roses.
Will do, and I'll send you videos. Bye, everyone.
Take care. Oh, boy, I'll tell you. I do. Those are the moments when, as a grandparent, you really say, I wish I was there for this. You know, I'd put on my little, I am killing it as a mom and a grandmom, but, you know, I'm not there. And that's okay, because thank God for Facebook and videos. I get to see a lot more than probably previous generations ever could when people live completely opposite ends of the country. So that does it for me. I thank you for your time this time. Until next time, my plan is to be back here on Monday at 3 p.m. if it be his will and he delays his coming. Remember that what lies behind us and what lies ahead of us, those are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. So wherever you are, just be yourself. Everybody else is taken. God bless you, God bless America, and God bless Israel. See you on Monday.
The Joyce Kaufman Podcast has been brought to you by Code Red Roofers, South Florida's leading residential and commercial roof experts. Code Red Roofers, roofers that respond. Call 844-4-CODE-RED or visit CodeRedRoofers.com.